నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయేత్. నష్టప్రాయేషు అభద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా భగవతీ ఉత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్టికీ. జయ జయ శ్రీ చైతన్య జయ నిత్యానంద జయ ద్వైత చంద్ర జయ గౌరభక్తవృంద జయ జయ శ్రీ చైతన్య జయ నిత్యానంద జయద్వైత చంద్ర జయ గౌరభక్తవృంద జయ జయ శ్రీ చైతన్య జయ నిత్యానంద జయద్వైత చంద్ర జయ గౌరభక్తవృంద. So we'd like to welcome all of you to our Nityananda Trayodashi Mahotsav program. We will have discussion on Lord Nityananda's pastimes in the morning as well as in the evening. Evening we'll have His Grace Dwarkadish Prabhu give the festival class. So for today morning we shall be discussing from the Ari Leela and we'll be chanting Ari Leela verse 7, which and the subsequent four other verses, a total of 5 verses. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes Nityananda Tattva. So this is Adi Leela chapter 1 text 7.
Sankarshana Karanato Yashai గర్భోదశాయి చ పయోబ్ధిశాయి శేషస్ చ యస్యాంశ కలా స నిత్యానందాఖ్య రామ శరణం మమాస్తు. సంకర్షణ కారణతో యశాయి సంకర్షణ కారణతో యశాయి గర్భోదశాయి చ పయోబ్ధిశాయి గర్భోదశాయి చ పయోబ్ధిశాయి శేషశ్చ యస్యాంశ కళాచ నిత్యా శేషశ్చ యస్యాంశ కళాస నిత్యా నందాఖ్య రామ శరణం మమాస్తు నందాఖ్య రామ శరణం మమాస్తు. సంకర్షణ కారణతో యశాయి గర్భోదశాయి చ పయోబ్ధిశాయి శేషశ్చ యస్యాంశ కళాచ నిత్యా నందాఖ్య రామ శరణం మమాస్తు. సంకర్షణ కారణతో యశాయి గర్భోదశాయి చ పయోబ్ధిశాయి శేషశ్చ యస్యాంశ కళాస నిత్యా
नंदाख्य रामा शरणं ममास्तु। संकर्षण कारण तो यशाई गर्भोदशाई जपयोदिशाई शेषश्च यस्यां शकलास नित्या नंदाख्य राम शरणं ममास्तु। संकर्षण कारण तो यशाई गर्भोदशाई च पयोदिशाई शेषश्च यस्यांश कलास नित्या नंदाख्य राम शरणं ममास्तु। माताजी संकर्षण कारण तो यशाई गर्भोदशाई च पयोदिशाई शेषश्च यस्यांश कलास नित्या नंदाख्य राम शरणं ममास्तु। संकर्षण कारण तो यशाई गर्भोदशाई च पयोदिशाई शेषश्च यस्यांश कलास नित्या नंदाख्य राम शरणं ममास्तु।
द वर्ड फॉर वर्ड मीनिंग इज एज फॉलोज।
संकर्षण महासंकर्षण इन द स्पिरिचुअल स्काई कारणतो यशाई कारणोदक्षाई विष्णु हु लाइज इन द कॉजल ओशन गर्भ उदशाई गर्भोदक्षाई विष्णु हु लाइज इन द गर्भोदक ओशन ऑफ द यूनिवर्स च एंड पय अब्धिशाई शिरोदक्षाई विष्णु who lies in the ocean of milk, Sheshaha, Sheshnag, the couch of Vishnu, Cha, and Yasya, whose, Amsha, plenary portions, Kala, and parts of the plenary portions, Saha, he, Nityanandakhya, known as Lord Nityananda, Ramaha, Lord Balram, Sharanam, shelter, Mama, my, Astu, let there be. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. May Sri Nityananda Ram be the object of my constant remembrance. Sankarsana, Sheshanag, and the Vishnus who lie on the Karana ocean, Garbha ocean, and ocean of milk are his plenary portions and the portions of his plenary portions. So this is how Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami begins his glorification of Lord Nityananda. Text 8 he says, I surrender unto the lotus feet of Sri Nityananda Ram, who is known as Sankarshan in the midst of the Chaturvyuha, consisting of Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna and Aniruddha. He possesses full opulences and resides in Vaikuntha Lok, far beyond the material creation. Text 9. I offer my full obeisances under the feet of Sri Nityananda Ram, whose partial representation called Karanadakshaya Vishnu, lying on the Karana ocean, is the original Purusha, the master of the illusory energy and the shelter of all the universes. Text 10. I offer my full obeisances under the feet of Sri Nityananda Ram, a partial part of whom is Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. From the navel of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu sprouts the lotus that is the birthplace of Brahma, the engineer of the universe. The stem of that lotus is the resting place of the multitude of planets. And text 11. I offer my respectful obeisances under the feet of Sri Nityananda Ram, whose secondary part is the Vishnu lying in the ocean of milk. That Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is the supersoul of all living entities and the maintainer of all the universes. Sheshnag is his further sub-part. So, in these five verses, Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami completes his very brief glorification of Sri Nityananda Ram, and we will now go further.
Vandeyam Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamscha Om Jnanat Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Sapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Once Srila Prabhupada arrived at the Atlanta temple, after a tour of many countries, almost two or three continents, and he was about to begin his arrival address. Then he saw the altar. There was Gornithai on the altar. And Prabhupada was deep in contemplation and he tried to speak. And the only thing he could say, these two brothers, they are from Bengal. Now they are traveling all over the world. They are giving mercy to everybody. Please try to take that mercy. And he choked up. He couldn't say anything further. Now in India, for those fortunate enough to understand Ramayana, they know Ram and Lakshman. at least in my childhood, I had absolutely no idea what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu meant. And certainly Nityananda Prabhu, there was no idea as to what this personality could be. So imagine Srila Prabhupada's challenge. I mean, the challenge confronting Srila Prabhupada, that following the orders of his guru, and his guru had given him the order in their first meeting, young people like you should spread the message of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Prabhupada took that message to heart, but the actual physical fulfillment of that message was more than 40 years later. So, we have people who read Ram Katha as a matter of formality and still have doubts about Lord Ram's divinity. We have scholars who study Ramayana, but they don't think that Ram is a divine personality. Why is that? As I was preparing my notes for this class, this was the point which kind of held my attention. Why is it that we don't have faith? If somebody is born in a land where there is no mention of Ramayana, Mahabharata, Bhagavat or Bhagavad Gita, that person can say, it's not my fault. I had never known about this. But you read the Shastras and say, that's precisely your fault. You did something, that's why you took birth here. Asurya namate loka. In the Upanishad, Ishvapanishad, it is said, among the 14 worlds, there are some places which are called the regions of the faithless. People don't have faith in God. But God is somebody who fulfills your desires. So obviously, you were put there because of something. So we understand from the acharyas that unless we hear from authorities, we will never have faith. Just one line from Narottam Das Thakur, and you can have that understanding. Brajendra Nandana Jai Sachi Suto Hoilo Sei Balaram Hoilo Nitai. In very simple language, Narottam Das Thakur sings, Brajendra Nandan Jai, that personality who is the son of Sri Nanda Maharaj, Sachi Suta Hoilo Sei, that same person has come as Sri Sachi Sut, the son of Mother Sachi, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then he says, Balaram Hoilo Nitai. Lord Balaram has come as Sri Nityananda Ram. So let us begin with the understanding as to why the Lord has to come. In some passages of the Bhagavad Gita, we are told to deeply ponder, to think about why you have come. Why have we come in this material world? What is the reason? If you ask people without spiritual knowledge, many of them would say, we have come to enjoy. At least I am enjoying. I have my money, I have my wealth, property, I have my beauty, I have my young body. But are you getting happiness? You say, well, it depends. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. In the Bhagavad Gita, however, you get the exact understanding as to why the jiva comes. Ichha dvesha samutthena dvandva mohena bharat. We get caught up in the duality of ichha, desire for sense gratification, and dvesh, hatred towards devotional service. Then this ichha dvesh also is prominent among other things here. I like someone, I don't like someone. If I am born in this nation, I am forced to say yes to whatever majority people say. That country is our enemy. So yes, obviously, if this country is mine, the other country is my enemy. So even among personalities, communities, all this kind of entanglement arises due to ichha and dvesh. While busy trying to enjoy this world, or while busy trying to get out of the entanglement caused by our desire to enjoy, we forget whose property is it. So in this whole material world, which is full of living entities trying to enjoy, as Krishna himself clarifies in the Bhagavad Gita, they are saying they are enjoying, but prakriti sthani karshati. There is a big struggle for existence, big fight for existence. In one purport, Prabhupada says, many people want to be rich, many people want to be economically developed. And for the first time, I was surprised, I read it yesterday, that this challenge from Prabhupada, why do you want to become economically developed in this planet? So you may say, what do you mean? You take any National Geographic, any Discovery Channel video, and there are Nobel Prize winners who tell you, this is the only planet we have. We swear, we tell the truth. We have sent probes all over the universe. It's all empty, dark, desolate, worthless. This is the only planet we have. And Prabhupada says, look at their intelligence. There are billions and billions and trillions of planets far, far more economically developed than this. It's a fact. If you are staying in a village and you are rich, take any small village, you are all from various parts of India, and you will find that somebody is considered rich, opulent. Why is he opulent? He has a two-wheeler, or he has an electric iron. But you, some of you staying in the cities, you may say, this is not opulence. So, the point I'm trying to make is, according to your own understanding and the setting nearby, you have gradations of somebody who is living a good life, medium life, or a bad life. And you always look at somebody else. Oh, that's good life. So for us Indians, somebody staying in the Middle East, oh, that's good life. Or in America, it's good life. But if you ask people there who are using things which you don't have, they will say, this is ordinary, I just have an ordinary car, you know. Like one businessman had told in a business interview, I just lead a normal millionaire's life. I don't have much. Just a simple millionaire's life. The point is, there is a lot of variegatedness. There is so much of, like Prabhupada is saying, I'm not saying you go there for economic development. But if that is what you want, what can this simple earthly planet give you? At least it will open your vistas that, hey, this is not the only place where I can live or where I am living. So we are all after ananda, happiness, and suddenly we don't get it. The body, the mind, and the intellect, they give together a three-way program of asat, achit, nirananda. Temporary, ignorant, and full of misery. So just to give us, there are two kinds of seekers. All those who are assembled in this hall are also seekers. We are seeking happiness through the process of Krishna consciousness. Outside there are people who are seeking happiness through material sense enjoyment, pursuit of knowledge, pious activities, religious activities, so many things. But it is ananda which we want. To give this ananda, the Lord Himself comes. And today we are glorifying one such manifestation, which is Sri Nityananda Ram. So, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna established Himself as Matta Parataram Nanyat. There is no truth superior to me. Which means, all discoveries, all pursuit of knowledge, the final goal, the final end point of everything rests in Krishna. Krishna is the source. Who is Balaram then? So Balaram is described as Krishna's first expansion. We living entities in this material world, we will never understand what an expansion means. You see yourself in the mirror and you see the second swarup of you. This is me and this is my mirror image. If some of you could have gone to a fair or a mela, you would enter a room where there are two mirrors opposite of each other. And as you enter there, you find there are hundreds and thousands of your expansions on the left side, hundreds and thousands on the right side. You may say, hey, I have expanded. Actually, just a trick of the mirror. There is some mathematical equation, I forget right now, but something divided by zero becomes infinite. That's why there are infinite images on this side. Of course, now there is television. So, somebody can record my performance and show on 20 screens how I am performing. I may be actually looking at that. Look at me. There are 20 expansions. Of course, there is a limitation. In one screen, if I am raising my arm, everywhere my arm is raised. It's not like I am drinking something, I am eating something, I am talking to somebody in different screens. That's not possible. Saubari Muni is a Muni, a rishi with mystic powers. He made 50 expansions of himself. That means actual 50 Savari Munis living in 50 palaces. So seeing the desire of the Jiva, Krishna gives some yoga siddhi. Okay, you also try it out. But Krishna's expansion, when Krishna expands as Balaram, they sometimes behave as two distinct personalities with different thought processes, with different mindset. So, you have to be careful when you read Krishna is Balaram, Balaram is Krishna. They are not different, yet they are different. So as Prabhupada would sometimes give an explanation to some spiritual topics, it requires some intelligence. I tried using my intelligence, but now I have come to the realization, it takes some purification. Just by using your intelligence, sometimes it doesn't work. But there is one thing, I am a spirit soul, at least I can claim that much, and the Vedas inform me, you, hey Jiva, you are an expansion of Krishna. I say, really? Me coming from Krishna? Why not? As the soul is like the ray of the sun. However minute the power of the sun represented, but the soul is a brilliant part of the sun. So Krishna has already expanded into thousands and millions and billions and trillions, and he claims, Sarva yoneshu kaunteya murtaya sambhavantiya tasam brahma mahad yonir aham bija pradapita. So this material world is a funny place in that sense. The jivas together say, we have no father. And the father says, you are all my children. That actually is preaching in a nutshell. Preaching means, the rebellious sons, they say, we have no father, our father is dead. Or we never had any father. And the father comes and says, here I am. Look at me, I am alive. What do you call someone who says that I was born without any father? Why do you say like that? I never saw him. I don't know him. Or more likely, I don't like him. I don't like the way he behaves as a father. So that's called the rebellious son. So, in three yugas, Satya, Treta, Dwapar, the Lord comes as Aishwarya Shali. Krishna is opulent. He is attractive. And everybody is attractive who has some opulence. Without opulence, you are not attracted to anyone. Krishna himself comes and tries to attract materially entangled souls whose minds are taken away by matter. So, in the Ramayana we have Krishna coming as Lord Ram, and Balaram, who is Krishna's first expansion, is Lakshman. Now we do have cases where people have been served very loyally. Some big industrialist, and he has a servant. The servant has served very loyally for the last 30 years, 40 years. But Balaram's service is very different. Balaram's servitorship, his mood, he expands as the place where Krishna has his pastimes, as Krishna's clothes, Krishna's jewelry, Krishna's umbrella, everything. He is so intent upon serving Krishna that service to Krishna is the only thing he has in his mind. So as Lakshman in Ram Leela, I was so, in one sense, happy, but also sad and also surprised at the same time. For those 14 years, Lakshman did not eat and Lakshman did not sleep. Now I take sometimes pride in, I'm serving the BTG department for the last 13 years, 14 years or whatever. But if somebody asks, did you eat? Oh, of course, every day. Did you sleep? Every day. Where you feel, did you feel sometimes of giving up this service? So many times. So, what is it that attracts Balaram to this servitorship? So this is how we can understand the attracting power of Krishna. But in Chaitanya Leela, it is not so much as the attracting power of Krishna, but the attracting power of Krishna defeated by the servitude of his devotees. That's very strange. How can a servant defeat his master? It's not possible. In previous times in India, kings would have wrestlers. Because Kshatriyas needed training, so they would always sometimes sword fighting, wrestling, horseback riding. In case a wrestler actually gives a dhobi pachad, that's the kind of a move, that you take your opponent and just like you take a cloth and tack. So that's how if he puts him down, the king, somebody who is providing his daily food and salary, so immediately he would touch his feet and say, sorry Maharaj, sorry, sorry. Of course the king also would feel good, because just because if he says, you are the king, how can I fight with you? How will he get training? So Krishna, he gladly sees himself being defeated by the service attitude of his servants. And this is how Nityananda Ram, Sri Nityananda Rai, Lord Nityananda Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, his whole life was dedicated towards service to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. About his Janma Leela, it is described that he was born in a family of Brahmanas in Radha Desh, Ekachakra Gram, Hadai Pandit and Padmavati, the names of his parents. And somehow, even as a small child, he would remember that I am Balram, I am Lakshman. And the friends would play Ram Leela. And one day he told his friends, some of us will be in the Ravana's party, some of us will be in the Ram's party, and as soon as the arrow hits me, I will be as if dead. So then you all arrange for Hanuman to go and bring that Sanjeevani herb. And the boys were playing. And then one of the friends in the opposite party, he shot an arrow. Ha, Lakshman, you are dead. And actually, Nittai just fell down unconscious. His parents were called, neighbors came, nobody could do anything. And then someone said, he told us that we should call Hanuman to bring that herb. And you just bring something and chant the Lord's name and he will get up. So, when he got up, people were surprised. It was not made up, it was not artificial. He was actually relishing that. And one day, a sannyasi came and he told Hadai Pandit, just like Dasharatha Maharaj was requested by Vishwamitra Muni to give his son, I am requesting you to give your son as my traveling assistant. That was a big shock. He was their only child. The mother refused, started crying. The father also could not say yes. But they knew they can't say no. Here is somebody who is an atithi, is a traveling sannyasi. So, practically suffering a big heartbreak, they allowed him to go, along with his senior teacher. Nityananda Prabhu roamed around all of India's pastime places, Tirthasthan. But surprisingly, it is not recorded that he had preached to anyone, anywhere. We just discussed that he is the teacher. He is a preacher. Why then doesn't he preach? He didn't even open his mouth anywhere. Nobody knew practically who he is. In many places in the Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavat, Lord Nityananda described as avadhut. I saw a very strange definition of avadhut. Antar shakta bahir shaiva vaishnava sabhayam mataha. This person is a shakta inside, a shaivite outside, and in a Vaishnava assembly says, I am a Vaishnava. Which means basically, he doesn't care for any rules or regulations. It was in Indore that Prabhupada had a Bhagavad Gita discourse program, and the devotees were surprised to see one person coming in the evening and rattling off Bhagavad Gita shlokas like left, right, center. And they were surprised, impressed. And then they saw him smoking bidis. So one of the disciples asked, You are supposed to be such a scholar, and you say that you have learned everything many, many years ago. So, why can't you give up smoking? He said, oh, I am an avadhut. That means, these rules, regulations don't bother me. So they went, they were more bewildered. Then they asked Prabhupada, how do we understand this? Prabhupada said, this is how things are spoiled in this age. There is actually a category where you do not need to follow rules and regulations. But unscrupulous people take advantage of that and they simply bewilder themselves and bewilder others. I heard from a class of Radha Govind Maharaj that how does one come to the stage of not following any rules? I mean, if I am told that if you are in the ashram for 26 years, 15 more years and you will come to the stage where you don't need to follow ashram rules. I said, oh, that's a good target. So the meditation from point one is how to come to that senior position where you don't need to follow any rules. That's besides the point. That's completely fitting the point. So, Maharaj described, let's say you have a car. And you are using this car for going from Radha Gopinath temple to Bhaktivedanta hospital. So obviously you have to take a right turn because there is a no entry here. You can't take a left. Then you move around. Then you take this road. Then you go to Western Express Highway. So even if you have the latest GPRS Navig SatNav, satellite navigation, it says, take the next right turn, take the next left turn. This means following rules and regulations. Why? Because you are stuck to the car is stuck to the road. You are not free from gravity. You have to take that left turn, signal, stop, next right, next left. But what if that a small helicopter which landed on this in this courtyard and the helicopter took off, and now it is landing in the field outside our Bhaktivedanta hospital. Will you find a pilot reading, take left, then take right, then red signal, then stop? If you tell him, I'll give you directions. We'll keep in touch. So now take a left turn, now take a right turn. Now do you see the signal? There's no signal anywhere. There's no signal here. So only when you come to a higher plane will those rules and regulations stop. They won't stop automatically. Obviously somebody having a car and somebody having a helicopter is a lot of difference. So compared to transcendentalists, those who are sadhakas like you and me, the rules and regulations are our shelter, they are our protection. But when Nityananda Prabhu, he took the role of an avdhut, no rules, no regulations, not because he doesn't like to follow them, he doesn't need to follow them. So since he is Balaram himself, and he has come for a specific purpose, till the time Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was doing his, performing his pastimes as a scholar, the world did not know about Lord Nityananda Prabhu at all. Then Mahaprabhu went to Gaya, performed the last rites for his departed father. He met Ishwar Puri and he came back practically intoxicated with Krishna Prem. That scholar, Nimai Pandit, who would never talk of Krishna or Krishna Bhakti, is now only talking of Krishna and Krishna Bhakti. And then one day Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told his devotees, a very, very magnificent, huge personality came in my dreams. Have you seen? Do you know him? And devotees were saying, where? What person are you talking? He said, oh, there was a big chariot. It had a flag with the emblem of a palm tree. And in bluish robes, bluish personality, with dazzling ornaments, lotus-like eyes, slightly intoxicated, and chanting Krishna, Krishna. This is the personality of whom I'm talking. Still, devotees had no idea. Finally, Mahaprabhu said, try to go and search it is disclosed by our acharyas that in this sweet little pastime, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the personality of Godhead, Krishna himself, and Nityananda Prabhu is a guru. It is Krishna who discloses who is Guru. You and me with our mundane vision cannot understand. So Krishna within, if our desires are true, if our desires are pure, Krishna guides us to the lotus feet of a spiritual master. So the devotees saw Nityananda Prabhu, they welcomed him. And later, throughout Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nityananda Prabhu is described as the original spiritual master. Yesterday I read one line in a purport in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that a spiritual master means one who always thinks of service to Krishna. There is no other meaning to the word spiritual master. Guru means one who always thinks of Krishna Seva. So we have Nityananda Prabhu, when he was told to preach, he is Guru. But what was his preaching? Chaitanya Seva, Chaitanya Gao, Lo Chaitanya Naam, Chaitanya Je Bhakti Kare Sei Mora Pran. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching people Krishna consciousness. Read Bhagavad Gita, read Bhagavatam. And Nityananda Prabhu is telling them, be Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu conscious. Are these two different? No. They are the same. Bhagavad Gita is the dialogue between Krishna and Arjun. Through that fierce battle of Kurukshetra, Lord Krishna gives his personal message of what is spiritual life to all of us in Kali Yuga. It was given exactly at the beginning point of Kali Yuga. Because just after Kurukshetra battle, and maybe 30-40 years after Parikshit Maharaj was crowned as king, Kali Yuga began. In fact, Kali Yuga began at that juncture itself. So Gita is the user's manual, the instruction booklet. Then what is the Bhagavat? The Bhagavat is the mature fruit of wisdom. If the Vedas can be compared to a tree, how do you know whether a tree is good or bad or useful or not useful? Of course, we have leaves, we have twigs, we have branches, we have firewood. But what is the taste of a tree? If you take a leaf, no idea. If you taste a branch or a twig or bark, the taste of a tree is a fruit. So the fruit of the tree of Vedic knowledge is Srimad Bhagavatam. So we have covered the Bhagavad Gita, we have covered the Bhagavat. What is then Chaitanya Charitamrita? Chaitanya Charitamrita is the life of a devotee in action. The practical representation of Srimad Bhagavat. Prabhupada gave a very simple kind of understanding that your schooling gets over when you finish Bhagavad Gita. Your college education gets over after Srimad Bhagavat. And postgraduate study is Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Now just because it is a postgraduate study doesn't mean that it is highly complicated. In fact, it is very simple. So simple that we may miss it. The pastimes of the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita, many times try reading the 13th chapter and you feel, wow, this is very, very, very intricate. Some of the Bhagavatam prayers are very intricate. But Mahaprabhu's pastimes, Mahaprabhu has decided that each and every living entity in this material world is a fit candidate for devotional service. Now, if Krishna says like that, all the Vedic scholars will rise up in challenge. No, it's not possible. You cannot make everybody a fit candidate for devotional service. Just recently, the office of the most powerful country in the world and the president of that country has signed an order. And a judge is saying, I will not allow this. So here, all your orders, however big you are, can be challenged. In fact, they say, you could be the president of this country, but doesn't mean you can make any law. So even mundane presidents have their limitations. So the Vedic laws are made by Krishna. Who is fit? Who is unfit? Who can chant a mantra? Who cannot chant a mantra? Who can do puja? Who cannot do puja? Who can even touch the scripture? By Smartha Vedic category, I mean, possibly all of us would have to vacate the room if those laws were put into practice. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, all attractive, all powerful, but with magnanimity, audarya. Why audarya? Because Krishna also knows, how can I expect any kind of good behavior, how can I expect any kind of purity from people of this age? So funnily, our Acharya Singh, I am most degraded and that is my biggest qualification. You have come to give purity to Patita, you are a Patit Pavan, here I am, the most Patit. I mean, sometimes we devotees also like to engage in a different kind of match. Somebody says, I am fallen. So, no, I am more fallen. No, I am more fallen. Oh, you don't know how fallen I am. Except for some other circumstances, they say, I am better than you. No, I am better than you. So, both of these are facts in sadhana bhakti stage. Both of them can come. But Mahaprabhu actually wanted to demonstrate. So one day he said, Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Acharya, just go everywhere and tell them to take Lord Krishna's name. Whoever takes Krishna Naam in this age is bound to get purified. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So in those days, Navdeep had many Brahminical people, pious people, simple people, religious people. They gladly would say, okay, we'll take Krishna Naam, we'll chant Hare Krishna, we agree, we'll take this process as our goal in life. But Nityananda Prabhu was thinking, this is not the whole story. I need to find some candidates who are absolutely unfit. Why? Here is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu willing to give mercy. So what is the harm in finding out some of the worst candidates? Like in Bombay, we have so many coaching classes and they say, oh, we train people to get more than 85% in their 12th standard exam. You say, really? Guaranteed. We only take those who have more than 84% in their 9th, 10th and 12th, 11th standard and then we coach them. So you may say, well, if you already take a candidate who is in that range and then you make him go 1% more, that's not your glory. If you say, let me take repeaters, those who are the third time appearing for their exam and let's make them go beyond the 90% mark. That's something. So while Mahaprabhu had given the order, Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Acharya would go village to village, door to door. It is strange that this was never done before in the history of, in Vedic history, that somebody would go and preach like that. And one day, in one particular village, there was a big crowd and people could understand that there is something going on. So Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Acharya asked, what's the hullabaloo? Why is such a big commotion? Oh, you don't know that there's a nice Brahminical family here, rich landlords, so much of property. But then these two sons, the parents are dead or something like that. These two brothers, their names are Jagadananda and Madhavananda. But according to local Bengali parlance, they were called Jagai and Madai. They squander their parents' property. They drink liquor, strong, hard liquor. They fight with everybody. They pick up fights where if they don't, somebody doesn't naturally fight with them. And if there is nobody to fight, they fight among themselves. So he said, well, what kind of character they have? He says, lowest of the low. They eat all kinds of untouchable things. They eat meat. They always speak foul language. They never engage in any kind of purificatory process. Never go to any rituals. No pujas, nothing. So the more people were describing these scoundrels, Nityananda Prabhu was getting more and more ecstatic. He said, are you sure? Are you sure they do this? Are you sure they do that? So people were, see, just like it's a common thing, if you want to know how bad is someone and the person is describing. So finally, Nityananda Prabhu is telling Advaita Acharya, we got our candidates. He said, what? I thought when you heard this description, you would say, we will have nothing to do with these people. He said, no. These are the people whom we will now target. So, as I described, these two brothers would fight among themselves if they wouldn't have any candidates for fighting. So this time they were together. And they saw Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Acharya coming from a distance. It is remarked by Prabhupada in a lecture that only once these two brothers talk something good about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So they were discussing, hey, here comes these fools, you know. They go around chanting Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So one of them said, but the music is nice, you know. I like their tunes. That's all. So when they came nearby, Nityananda Prabhu said, why don't you chant Hare Krishna? Purify your life. Understand the goal of life. Give up sins. Now for the first time, somebody had given them some upadesh. None of the local priests, nobody had the courage to even stand in front of them. In fact, people would say they would shun their company. So, this was like one spark which fell on a tank of fuel and the whole thing blew up. They were so angry that they started running and tried to say, wait till I catch you, I'll beat you, I'll kill you. And people were saying, they could do that, they could do that, please run away, please run away. So Advaita Acharya said, let's run. And after they ran away, Acharya is telling Nityananda Prabhu, why do you do this kind of things? Our job is to give those who are humble, pure, religious, the holy name. Why do you put yourself into unnecessary risk? And because of you, I am also putting unnecessary risk. Instead of giving a proper answer to this situation, Nityananda Prabhu is saying, wait. Just wait. Very soon they will be getting Mahaprabhu's full mercy. So Acharya is saying, which means we are going again. He said, yes. So they gave the evening report to Mahaprabhu that we had seen these two brothers and I think they are the fit, they are really fit candidates for your mercy. Internally, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also was very happy. The next day they again go there. Seeing these two preachers come again, Madhai became so angry. They already had these liquor pots. That was the fashion during those times. To drink liquor from earthen pots. So he just picked up a pot, started picking pots and throwing at Nityananda Prabhu. And one such pot hit him directly on the forehead. And of course, there were people surrounding. So seeing this scenario, and Nityananda Balaram, blood started flowing from his forehead. With his palm, he tried to stop the flow of blood. But he was still preaching to them, you got what you wanted. You wanted to hit me? You are successful. At least now you should chant. Instead of being placated, Madhai became more infuriated. And he picked up another pot. By that time, somebody had ran to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, saying that your preachers are being assaulted. These two scoundrels, one of them threw a pot, Nityananda Prabhu is is injured. There is blood flowing from his forehead. Mahaprabhu was so angry. In fact, his anger was of such a superlative degree, he forgot his avatar's prayojan, why he has come here. He came there and he manifested four arms, Shankha, Chakra, Gada, Padmadhari, Vishnu. He was about to release his discus, Sudarshan Chakra, and sever the heads of both of them. But at that time, Nityanand Prabhu is telling him, stop! Please stop! He said, why? They don't deserve any kind of leniency, any kind of mercy. He says, no, I'll tell you what has happened. As Madhai picked up a pot again, Jagai actually stopped him. He's good. I can vouch for his good character. He told everybody here, is witness, he told Madhai, don't do that. You got what you wanted, but just see the character of this saintly person. I think we have made a big mistake. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, really? You actually stopped your brother from conducting another assault? I forgive you. And Jagai fell at Nityanand Prabhu's feet, at Mahaprabhu's lotus feet. Said, I'm very sorry, I'll never do it again. He said, okay, I'll release you from all your sins. And Madhai was just thunderstruck by this whole thing. Suddenly he got control of his senses. He says, wait, all the things which we have done, we have always done together in partnership. We are always partners. We sinned together, we drank liquor together, we shouted obscenities together. Everything we have done together. So he said, Mahaprabhu, today somehow I am getting this feeling in my heart, you are Mahapatit Pavan, please forgive me. Mahaprabhu said, no. He says, no. My brother got forgiveness, I cannot. He says, you have offended Nityananda Mahaprabhu, approach him. But as he approached Nityananda Prabhu, he saw that Nityananda Prabhu was more than ever willing to give him forgiveness. So what Nityananda Prabhu had in his mind was proved through this one big pastime, that if you offend a Vaishnava and you offer pranams to everybody else in the universe, it won't work. You have to approach that particular Vaishnava. If you offend Krishna and you go to Krishna and say, I'll do this puja, I'll do this ritual, it won't work. If you offend Guru and you go to Krishna, any kind of expiation won't work. You have to go to Guru only. So seeing Nityananda Prabhu more than willing, the two brothers, Mahaprabhu told them to embrace each other. Now you are Vaishnavas. I'll forgive you of all your sins. Mahaprabhu started kirtan again. And as the kirtan, Arjuna Acharya and many other devotees, they all joined the kirtan. As the kirtan progressed, people could see that Mahaprabhu's body became black. His gaura is golden, but he started becoming black. He was also beautiful, even in that black form. Mahaprabhu encouraged them to chant even more. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And later that blackish hue also started vanishing. And finally it left his body completely. Advaita Acharya is always curious. He said, what happened exactly? He said, I took all their sins. Jagai Madhai's sins were all taken by me. Then he said, now what has happened now? He says, Mahaprabhu explained, they have all gone away and they are there. and they will take shelter in the heart of anyone who offends Vaishnavas. They said, oh, you have to be so careful. So, by the simple process of accepting Lord Nityananda Prabhu as our guide, as our master, we can safely traverse through the big challenge of sadhana bhakti in this age. He is the original spiritual master because he is the original servitor. In fact, I'll end with this one small thing. Shachi Mata, Lord Chaitanya's mother, had a dream that one day she had an altar where she would worship Krishna and Balaram. So Nityananda Prabhu came and he told that Balaram, get off. He said, what do you mean get off? I am Balaram, I am Krishna's brother. I have a right to sit beside him. He says, that was in the previous age, Dwapara Yuga. This is Kali Yuga. In Kali Yuga, I, Nityananda, I have the right to sit next to him. So Baldev and Nityananda had a scuffle, had a small fight. But Nityananda forcibly pulled him down. At that time, Shachi Mata's dream broke. It is explained that Balaram is powerful. Bala. Nayam atma balahinena labhya. You cannot achieve spiritual realization if you don't have the favor of Balaram. That same Balaram, same strength, same knowledge, but with more forgiveness. Sometimes devotees are encouraged. You have Radha Krishna, you have attitude for Radha Krishna worship. Please have Gaur Nithai first. Gaur Nithai will give you the full benefits of Radha Krishna worship. But they will not accept any offense. Because Radha Krishna Seva, it is automatically deduced that you will not commit any offense now. Any Seva Aparad or any other kind of Aparad. So, we chant Hare Krishna. There are so many millions of Vaishnavas who chant Hare Krishna. But for purification from the aparads towards chanting Hare Krishna, we chant the Panchatattva Mantra. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Prabhupada assured, this Panchatattva Mantra will free us from offenses towards chanting Hare Krishna. Because it has the names of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Acharya, Gadadhar Prabhu, Srivas Thakur, and everybody else, Srivas Adi, all these Vaishnavas are assimilated here. So, we'll stop here. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki.
Hare Krishna. There is a small announcement. For more than a year now, Bhaktivedanta Vidyapeeth at Govardhanik Village has been publishing many series of books in the service of Vaishnava community.